If you had two number one draft choices this year and a starter, and you got one of those big-time running backs, I'd like to make that Mike's break, though, the running back. Who might I want in here if Adrian's gone? Well, I got an answer for y'all. You'll have to wait for it, though. Come on back.
I'm torn. I'm torn right now. We just got these Coors Light official beer NHL Reebok sweaters. But I'm wearing the real deal. I'm wearing my Christmas tree right now.
Yeah, you don't want to change that.
The Christmas tree.
No, he doesn't want you to put it over the Christmas tree. You don't have the Minnesota Wild sweater. I'm going to put this on, though. I don't have a sweater on yet. So I'm going to try and fit in with this crowd and put on my Reebok silver bullet.
Tap in the Rockies.
Yes, indeed. I'm going to slap that thing on right now. And have
at it. Are you going to take off your undershirt? Are you going to put it on over the top? Are you going to show your nipples?
I don't know whether I should or not.
Dance?
What do you think would happen if I did?
I think you would get a ruckus applause if you did the boob dance. People love boobs dancing. Your boobs dancing.
I don't know if they'd want mine dancing necessarily, but maybe that wouldn't be a bad idea with someone else. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I think you should do it.
We've got a little talk here going about Adrian Peterson. Everyone's walking up to us right here at Ed Reed's and asking.
That's the number one thing everybody wants to know.
I mean, did he show up today? No.
Whether I go to a gas station, whether you know, go to Tom Reed's, anywhere. What's going on with AP? What's going on? Well, it changes by the day. Today he didn't show up to the voluntary workout session. No chance of being fined. It wasn't mandatory. He didn't have to. I want to say June 16th is the first mandatory where he would be fined. There's the 30,000 the first day, 40,000, 70,000. It just keeps growing. With I want to say the maximum capacity being $250,000, his workout bonus. But yeah, wasn't there today. A couple of things over the weekend. Sources close to the situation saying that the Minnesota Vikings are seeking a first round draft pick and a starting cornerback if they do intend to trade Adrian Peterson if a team wants them. And then Adrian Peterson today saying he would be okay staying with the Minnesota Vikings if they guaranteed most of the rest of his contract, which is ridiculous. He already had was paid his bonus money, his guaranteed money. That's why, I mean, Mike Zimmer said at the owners' meetings in Phoenix, that's why you sign these big contracts, to protect the team, to protect a player, but you get your certain amount of guaranteed money, your bonus money, and the team gets it on the end. It's a tough, aggressive, brutal sport. And if the Vikings are going to pay you $12.75 million, but you get injured, then they're on the hook for it. But Adrian Peterson, being the vested veteran that he is, his salary becomes guaranteed if he plays one game.
For that year, not the rest of the contract. But if he's torn up with an ACL, MCL, whatever, and he's reconstructing another knee, and it takes a year and a half to get back, they have to pay him throughout the extent of the injury. And if it doesn't come back where he can use it anymore, he can file a grievance for a career-ending injury that would pay him the rest of the contract and then some. So it's kind of a tough situation that both the Vikings and Adrian Peterson find themselves in. It's kind of a log jam, and we are going to probably have an awful lot more of this going on before we see him back in shoulder pads with anybody. But they have to get this thing straight with Dogra and Adrian as to how they're going to bring him back or what they're going to do to make sure that they can trade him safely and not eat a big number.
Yeah. Captain Munderland said today at Winter Park that the coaches haven't talked about Peterson. Mike Zimmer didn't mention AP at all in his first remarks to the team today. They're just moving on.
Well, you have
There's
to
nothing
move on.
You can do, but at the
and
same...
they've been cued in. Those players have been cued in as well.
They've been through it for a whole year already. And for Adrian Peterson, who has absolutely no leverage to say, you know, I'll come back to the Vikings if you guarantee my contract. Okay. He's grasping at straws because he can wish and hope and do all of these things. He's not in control. The Vikings will decide where he plays, if he plays for the Vikings or not. I mean, he can decide not to play, obviously, but that would be a stupid move. But the rest of it's all up to the Vikings and what they want.
It sure is. And it's a good position for them to be in. To have leverage and to have control is where you want to be if you're Viking management right now. You've got a big-time player who's trying to play, you know, play the card that he can call his own shots and find his way out of here. Well, it doesn't just happen that way. There's a lot of money at stake, and you have to play the deal outright. And he doesn't understand that, apparently. I don't think he does. He or Dogra doesn't understand. I mean, he's a great running back when he's out there and available, and he's not doing something stupid in the offseason with one of his kids. He has to understand that he was completely wrong and caused this entire mess. He brought this entire mess upon himself, and now the Vikings are left with a quandary of issues to try and resolve, and the team is waiting to find out how good or what they're going to be able to do without him. Yeah. I mean, all of his teammates are waiting and wondering, too. So anyway, that's where it is.
Are you going to change your shirt now?
I'm going to put my shirt on during the break. And we're going to come right down the line and ask for your calls at 651-989.
Actually, we have to switch some things around
because of the schedule change down here. We have James on.
Jim Rich.
James is going to come on, and he's rich, and he's rich.
From the XL Energy Center. He's actually going to talk to our guy. The reason we had to move him earlier because he goes, I'm going to talk to Tom Reed at 5:20 or something like that on TV. I was like, wait a second, we're at Tom Reed's. We already had Tom Reed on.
We already talked to him.
Yeah, so Jim Rich live from the XL Energy
Good
Center
stuff.
Covering the Minnesota Wild, taking on the St. Louis Blues. Game 3 tonight, round 1, Stanley Cup's playoff. Stanley's Cup playoff. I like to say Lord Stanley. He's such a good guy.
I've known him for years.
Oh, he was at my bar mitzvah. Well, I'm not Jewish. No, I don't know. I don't know why I was at... I didn't have a bar mitzvah.
I guess your parents just completely blew that one. All it really took was a baptism.
That's right.
You got the other. Anyway, good for you. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk with Jim Rich. He had a great interview or two with some of the Wild players over the weekend, and I saw every bit of it, and I thought it was a pretty good job by our guy, Jim Rich, and last night on the news. So, Jim Rich, when we return.
I don't think that we're going to come out here and just dominate. We're going to have to find a way to beat them. And by that, I mean we can't just put our sticks down on the ice and expect that good things are going to happen. We're going to have to be on top of our game. You know, the detail without the puck, they're going to challenge us. They're still, again, a very tough team to defend against. You know, we're going to be very strong with our execution. They're very well structured. They're very well coached. They're always in good position. You know, special teams is always going to be a huge factor.
The coach of the Minnesota Wild, Mike Yeo, he was just describing what we're up against. It's no slice of pie. Even after the first one down in St. Louis, we won handily. He said, look, there's no reason to be celebrating it for any reason. We've got a lot of work ahead of us to take down the Blues, and it has proven to be just that. They came back game 2. Beat the Wild 4-1 very convincingly. And you know what? It's onward and upward. We get them back home now for a little while, and Jim Rich joins the show. Jim Rich, you had a pretty good weekend with some of your interviews. I was listening to a lot of that and saw it on Channel 9, Fox 9, and saw some of the breakdown with the Minnesota Wild players. You had some good questions for them, and I think they've got it in perspective as far as how they're going to approach Game 3, how they're not going to get sucked into the intimidation game and end up spending time in the penalty box. They're gonna skate their own game.
Well, this isn't Jim Rich, guys. This is Sam back in the studio. Our guy is furiously calling Jim right now, trying to get a hold of him, but he's probably chatting up with Tom Reed or something like that. It sounds like those two are gabbing, so we'll try to get a hold of him.
Okay, thank you. Tom Reed and Jim Rich, two of our go-to guys when it comes to Minnesota Wild hockey. They know more than anybody else as far as I'm concerned. We dip into Mark Parrish and your guy Tom Chorsky every once in a while. Also great people. But it's getting crowded down here. It's funny because we're at Tom Reed's. He stopped by. He's like, God, it's this early and it's already packed. One of our sales managers stopped down here as well. And, I mean, St. Paul... the state of hockey, but it's taking place in St. Paul, is so hungry, so rabid. I have never heard, and I'm sure you've been down here at Tom Reed several times before I joined this little shindig we've got going on here. Have you ever heard them boo so loudly that when another team fan comes through, like just wearing a St. Louis Blues jersey, a sweater or a hat or anything? Some guy walked in the front door, and if it happens again when we're on the air, you'll definitely hear it. But this guy just walks in, walks back to his table, and everybody's just booing him. I mean, screaming in his face almost.
Yeah, I don't know. When he walked out this morning, he put on his Blues hat, his St. Louis Blues hat, and he came in here. I don't know if that would have been a really... a good piece of advice to wear that.
These
I don't
bastards
think it was.
Revel in that stuff.
Yeah, they do.
They love it.
They love their damn hats. They love their damn silly-ass goofy colors. They look like a I don't know, it looks more like a carnival or a clown suit. You know, the Blues, their little clown suit. It looks, it's a horrible color combination, horrible color scheme. And the little note on the front of it, just the little musical notes. Oh,
they're
good
pansies.
For you. You're really tough. Makes Steve Ott look like a sissy.
Yeah, they're pansies. I had no idea that St. Louis was known for the Blues.
Oh, yeah. That I did know.
I had no idea.
And they're going to be singing the Blues when we're done.
Let's hope so.
I think it's good. And Jim had a chance to sit down with Pominville, and he sat down with Zucker. They talked with Dubnyk a little bit last night on the news. They talked about Ott getting in his space. And, you know, what is your thought? Do you think he'll be back, or did you show him with a couple checks across the back of the hamstrings enough to be able to keep him out of that and let him know that he wasn't supposed to be in there if he was thinking he was going to? So Dubnyk said, he's coming back. No, he'll be back in there. There's no question he's coming back in my little space again. And at least he knows what I think. He knows what I think, but he'll play his game. That will not change his game at all whatsoever. But our game doesn't change either. We're a tough team. We skate fast. We skate hard. And we have good chemistry. And everyone that had any sort of conversation about this game coming up said the right thing. I believe they handled all the intimidation and the bully ball pretty well with the way they were coming back and saying, look, that's their deal. We know that going in. Our deal is skate and make the big play.
This lady's painting faces. Will you paint mine? She will. Will you paint your face, Soup? Got to get the war paint on. Come on.
Depends on what you put on there. I mean, I would want to go with something like, I don't know, kind of like the Ultimate Warrior if it was a...
Well, we'll have to wait and see what she does here. But
you know, if we could find some black that we could go all the way down, kind of like Alice Cooper, I'd do it. I would do it.
Black tears?
Yeah, black tears.
You go home tonight and your wife is like,
what's this, Mike?
Why does this not surprise me?
I'm just... Yeah, she'd go, oh, Mike. How was your afternoon at work with Ben Holson? I'd say, you know what? He's got me weeping black tears.
Yeah.
That's what he's got me doing. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to do it. She'll do black.
Okay, well, we'll fire that up here pretty soon. Coming into talking about the St. Louis Blues, Game 3, obviously, here tonight, the XL Energy Center. Join the superstar Mike Morris and I. We are at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub before the game tonight. It's filling up down here for sure. Lots of fun. Lots of great prizes. We have movies and ticket things and the tickets and all that good stuff. Vladimir Tarasenko, we talked about him, 23-year-old, had a hat trick on Saturday. One of them being Tom Reed called a freak power play goal.
It was.
But it got in there, and then one was an empty netter. However, he was all over the ice. Last year, during the first round, Mike Yeo put Eric Halla on McKinnon, one of the younger guys who was causing some problems, obviously, last year in the first round against the Colorado Avalanche with the Minnesota Wild. Do you think to do that? Hi. Do you think the Wild should mirror Tarasenko, or do they have too much to worry about when it comes to Backes and Ott and Oshie and all the rest of the guys?
I don't think you do anything. I think you stay exactly with what you're doing and what got you here. I don't think you chase people all around the ice and try and find someone to match up with them. I think that you just go with what got you there. That's what they intend to do. I asked a lot of people going into it. John Kreiser with the NHL.com, I asked him, are they going to mirror up like that? Are they going to do different things to try and compensate for matchups and people trying to hide on the ice somewhere? And he said, no, they just don't. They don't need to. We're strong enough through all four lines that we can kind of do whatever game anyone wants to play. We can play that. We can play that way. And they're not going to try and do the mirror game or the matchups. Apparently, and this is, of course, from people that know far more about it than I do. So, and by the way, we hear now that Jim Rich just might be here to explain exactly what I'm trying to say.
Better late than never. Jim Rich, Fox 9. How's the XL Energy Center? People are packed here at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Is it getting crazy over there already?
It's the calm before the storm in this place right now. All the towels are on the seats. Everybody's getting the arena ready for the mayhem that's about to break loose in this building in the next hour, 2 hours.
Well, Jim, are they the same towels that I think they are, where it says the home of the home ice advantage?
No, this one says it's playoff season, 2015,
wow.
Round one. So they apparently have heard your pleasure with the home of the home ice advantage, and they have retired that slogan. for the playoffs.
I'm going to go ahead and say that that home of the home ice advantage towel that they gave away at the beginning of the season was the reason why the Wild won more games on the road.
They didn't even like it.
Yeah, very well could be. I was telling everyone just a minute ago about how things went over the weekend and how you had a chance to sit down with a few of the Wild players to talk on Fox 9 and on the Now segment. And I was pretty impressed with some of the information you got out of those guys.
Well, they're pretty fired up, and they're always, you know, pretty open with what they're dealing with. You know, they like to, you know, share the stuff. There's not a lot of secrets in hockey. It's basically will, speed, and determination to win a series. And so there's not a lot of secrets. There's not a lot of trick plays you can run. It's, you know, it's a lot of it's just ad lib. You know, yeah, you've got to be in your position and you got to know what your teammate's doing, but a lot of it dictates where that puck bounces.
Yeah, I thought some of the reaction also, Jim, from some of the players, Pominville and Zucker and Parisi, was that you know what, they do play a physical game. That's the way they're built. We're not going to chase them around and try and play that game with them and come out and meet them that way in Game Three. We don't, you know, Ott can do what Ott does. I heard Nick Letty on with you last night that if he wants to be a clown, let him be a clown. But we've got to skate and win these games based on the way we play. And I'm sure you're in agreement with that.
Yeah, they know that they can't get involved in the chaos. I don't know if you guys have seen any of that Calgary-Vancouver series. That is just way over the top as far as craziness with the fights and cheap shots and everything like that. So far, this has just been intimidation by the Blues trying to dictate that, hey, you know what, you guys aren't as strong as we are. We're going to will our way to victory. But the Wild aren't biting on that. They're not going to retaliate, take a stupid penalty, put the Blues on the power play. And it's a whole different mindset. I was talking with Kyle Brodziak today at the morning skate about that, and he says you just have to bite your tongue, and you so want to just drop your glove and smack them right in the face, but you know that it's going to kill your team, and you can't be selfish. You know, you just, if they run you, you just have to wait for your opportunity to try to put a clean hit on them later in the game. And he said that's probably the most difficult part, because normally in the regular season, you know what, somebody takes a cheap shot at you, you can take a shot back at them, but in this you can't.
Jim Rich from Fox 9, how important is it to be back home at the XL Energy Center for Mike Yeo to be able to switch up the lines and know what's coming at him and to be able to put guys out there on the ice that can counteract what the St. Louis Blues are doing?
I'm sorry, you cut out there. What was your question, Ben?
How important is it for Mike Yeo to be able to counteract what the St. Louis Blues are doing now that he's home and he can make decisions based on the people that the Blues are putting out on the ice and then counteract it by obviously doing what he decides to do?
Well, the big thing there is that the Blues are so deep and so talented, three lines of players, and there's no real weakness. Their defense is strong, and so there's not really anything the Wild can do to try to beat them as far as using that advantage. Now, Tarasenko is the guy that they've talked about. A lot of reporters have asked Mike Yeo if he's going to put a shadow on him like they did Nathan MacKinnon last year in that series, and, you know, they're not going to do that because they feel that MacKinnon was just all speed, and Tarasenko does too many things that just one guy can't deal with them. And, you know, he's kind of the X factor in this series because the Wild don't have a player like that that can win the game with a quick, open shot. And so, you know, that's somebody that they're going to have to keep tabs on.
Now, did you see the emergence of someone like Coyle or Granlund or someone who just has not shown up yet in a big way? Do you expect them to pop their head up and take a stance in this thing?
I think so. Charlie Coyle has played really well. He nearly, of course, got that goal in Game 2 and is really coming into his own as a centerman. And I think Charlie's ready to take that next step. And I think he's a guy you can look forward to tonight. His line has been playing well. And I think those guys are due for a big night. Granlund is getting knocked around pretty good. But as you saw in that interview with Bombenville, he doesn't worry about him, that he was a big star last year in the playoffs, and he thinks he'll raise his game to that next level.
We just have quite the crowd. We have quite the crowd. Let's just put it that way. We have quite a crowd.
And now my face is painted.
Just pointing a pen at someone, gouging people's eyes out.
Gouging
almost.
People's eyes?
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, it's very...
it's awesome. Here.
I don't know how to put it, but I would say that very demonstrative with his pen just now. I think he might... someone cut off the guy with the pen because he's going to go crazy like... Well, he was almost looking like Joe Pesci from Casino. like he might just go ahead and gouge someone with it. But anyway, we're safe now.
And Jim Rich, I'm getting into the spirit. People are looking at me. Not that that's abnormal because I'm just a sight to be seen at points. But now I have my face painted. They have a lady walking around here painting faces. Yeah, no, it looks pretty badass. I just tweeted it out on my Twitter page and retweeted from at 105 The Ticket. I was trying to talk to superstar Mike Morrison to get in the spirit, but he has a hockey jersey on. He's not into makeup as much as I am, which is understandable.
That's just it. I mean, she painted your face. I had her touch my makeup off, and that was all I needed. I just think I need to look prettier. So I've got all that going.
Well, she just didn't have enough time to try to fix that face.
Okay. You're funny. I get it. I get it. I get how comical you are.
You don't have a credential for tonight's game. I'm inside, protected by 19,000 people, and you can't get me.
Jim, you're perfect when it comes to picking winners of games, especially hockey games. When we ask you, we don't ask you very often. What's the score of tonight's game? Who wins?
I think the Wild win this one tonight. I think they come out strong. I think they get that first goal. And you remember Friday we went round and round about how can the first goal be that important? Well, I saw the stats over the weekend. The Blues are 36-6-4 when they score the first goal. The Wild are 35-6-4 when they score the first goal. So, I mean, it's ridiculous how these teams do when they score the first goal. So if the Wild get that first one tonight, they should roll. I think it's a 4-2 with an empty netter tonight for the Wild.
Wow. And that's what Tom Reed said as well. If they get the first one on the board, the roof will come off the place. And they should be in good shape. I hope that is the case, Jim Rich. Thank you for your time, sir.
All right, we'll see you, boys.
Bye, James.
Bye, Ben.
It's better late than never. We did finally get a hold of Jim Rich, and sometimes he's pretty good. That was good. That was good for Jim.
Does this look really weird on my
phone? No, it actually looks pretty good.
I think it looks kind of badass, but people are walking by and then doing double takes and then stopping and then trying to talk to me or point. I'm trying to talk on the radio, but I can't understand what you're saying. But, yeah, it's definitely
They're indicating to you that you look wild. You look crazy.
I'm crazy.
And I think you do.
A wild crazy.
I just want my black, sort of that Alice Cooper thing.
She'll do that.
I didn't see any black paint. I don't know if she knows who Alice Cooper is, so it'll come off looking like something like, I don't know. Not like what I'm looking for, but I'll try and convince her of that later.
Do a little John Randall.
Johnny Randall was Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
And he would do some Batman paint.
That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. I love him to death. We're going to take your calls. Let's take some calls. We'll talk a little Vikings. Yeah, get back to the AP subject of that little topic, that tiny topic. And we can talk trade value and who to trade to. And we'll go through that again. We've done it before. The number to call is 651-989-9105. We're here at Tom Reed's at the Hockey City Pub down in downtown St. Paul off 7th Street. Brought to you by Rogoszewski, and Atkins. Before you blow, call Rogo. Come on back, everybody. A little AP talk. Give us a call.
That's urination, isn't it? That's what I tell him. That's what I tell him when I come out of the bathroom. I'm sorry, I didn't wash my hands. I just went potty. He loves it. He loves it when I do that. People are great. Everybody's in a great mood.
I know it.
Down here at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, people are painting their faces, making fun of me for painting mine. But seriously, I'm a diehard man. Here we go. Let's do this.
If they painted like Bon Scott on my forehead, I'd let them do it.
How could you paint Bon Scott on your forehead? He's dead.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. It's a good point. You bring up a good point.
He's deader than a doornail.
We also have another point we need to bring up, and we do all the time, almost. Oh, I'd say the best part of three times a week. What would you do with AP if you were the GM, if you were the guy that had a chance to trade him? What would you take in return? What would the value be for a guy like Adrian Peterson, if you were the GM? We've invited you to call us at 651-989-9105. If you'd like to make a point or a cross point, I myself think that if they can't get a number one for him, at the very least, that you keep him. You just, whatever it is, it is. You keep him in pads here, and he runs the football for a cool 1,500 yards or whatever, and a few touchdowns, and Teddy Bridgewater's game is instantly better knowing that he's in the backfield. We have a balanced attack. I like the idea of just keeping him here as well. But if you can trade him, and Mike's break is coming up soon. We're going to talk about the running backs available in this draft and who I've been looking at. Ooh, my, who I've been looking at. And then we'll talk about that too. But do we have a phone call?
Yeah, sources over the weekend said that the Minnesota Vikings would be interested in a first-round draft pick and a starting cornerback, or a first-round and a second-round draft pick. It'll be interesting to see what does happen leading up here. We're just a little over, about a week and a half away from the NFL draft. Let's go to Andy from Andover. Hey, Andy, you're on 105 The Ticket.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for as always.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
With AP, I just say if you can't get a first this year, second this year, and a first next year, you play hardball and you just say you're either playing or you retire. I mean, the Vikings sold all the cards, so why not? Why isn't it time for us to hold him accountable and hold another team accountable?
I think that's exactly what the Minnesota Vikings are trying to do and hoping to do, for sure. Soup, what do you think?
I definitely think so. I couldn't agree with anyone more than what you just said. And I think that if they keep him here, and you know that it's Adrian Peterson, you know, of course, then that he's not going to lay down. He's not going to take any plays off. That's just not his style. He's the kind of guy that's going to make the very most of whatever situation he finds himself in when it comes to football, that is. Maybe not away from football,
but
certainly.
You know, Jerry Jones is foaming at the mouth when he thinks he can get Adrian Peterson, too.
Of course he is.
It's going to come down to draft day, and it'll be when we're on the clock. So you got to hope that something's there and we can get what we can get for him, but it's time we play some hardball.
I think you're right. I think they are doing it right now. I think they're executing that play right now. Whether they follow through with it or not, I don't know. I don't think anyone does. But I think that they will make that call when it's draft day and they are going to pick up that phone. I just can't see it happening with Dallas. Please, someone tell me that they can do the first rounder, they can do the starting corner, and it's a good corner, and it's someone in the AFC. I don't want to send Dallas the last chip to the...
Doesn't Oakland have that guy Hayden they drafted a couple years ago that wouldn't he be a good fit?
Yes.
Yep.
He'd be a great fit. And the Oakland Raiders or the Jacksonville Jaguars are the top two teams, maybe even the Cleveland Browns. Those three teams are the teams that have a first-round draft pick. Obviously, the Oakland Raiders and the Jacksonville Jaguars are so high. Top five pick, I don't know that they would necessarily give up that pick for Adrian Peterson, unless it just be like the number four overall pick for Adrian Peterson. I don't see them parting ways with that.
I can't either, but if they did, I would jump on it.
Yeah,
if we get one that high and pick up one of those top 1 to 5 upper echelon players in this draft would be quite a score, obviously, for an aging running back.
Yeah, would you obviously pick one of those linebackers or, defensive end linebacker, edge rusher type guys.
Andy,
thanks for taking part in the discussion. Thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Let's move on to Sharon.
Go Wild.
Thank you.
Go Wild, you're right. Let's move on to Sharon from Little Canada. Hey, Sharon, you're on 105 The Ticket.
Hey, guys, love your show. Women love
your show.
Just so you know.
Thank you.
In my humble opinion, I think that Adrian Peterson needs to honor his contract. There are so few consequences for these NFL players to make all this money. They cry a little. They get what they want. If I signed a contract, you know I would be held to it or I would be sued. And I just think that it's time that all these players grow up. You signed on the dotted line. You have an obligation here. And unless we can get a first-round draft pick, I say he stays. And his ego is big enough that he'll play well if he's playing here.
I think you've got a great point. I think that the players do kind of have it good now in these times in the National Football League, the way things have changed with free agency and the numbers on these contracts are astronomical. And you also have to understand the business side of it is that the NFL can tear up one of these contracts anytime they want to in the last 3 or 4 years of a long-term deal. So it leaves them with all the advantage at the end of the contract. But the players get the guaranteed money up front. It kind of weighs itself out that way. The players should play for what they've signed for, And there's no question that Adrian has brought a lot of hardship upon himself and this team and this community. He's got to, you've got to live up to, you know, you make your bed, you have to sometimes sleep in it. And
exactly.
I think if he finally would understand that he's done this and that he was truly sorry for what he did, that he could understand why he should just need to come back, not raise any cane, and get back into pads and apologize to his teammates first and foremost, and then the community as well, and just move on. I think that that would settle a lot of things for him in his personal life, and he could defuse a lot of the different the friction that he's going to take if he chooses to do otherwise.
Yep, I agree with you.
Cool, Sharon. Thank you for calling. Really appreciate it.
Love you guys, and go Wild.
Thank you, Sharon.
Go Wild.
Love you, too. And go Wild.
And I mean, we're into it now. I mean, we are officially into NHL playoffs season at the Minnesota Wild level. I mean, here we are. They're at home. They're right across the street from us. And the buzz from the NHL playoff scene is pretty big. I remember from the National Football League, I don't remember getting a chance to step out with the crowd, with the tailgating before any NHL game. I've seen this happen before NFL. This is amazing.
No, this is unbelievable. We were here every Tuesday. Every Tuesday home game for the Minnesota Wild, and it was never this full this early. Obviously, there's still room for people to come, so come on down, hang out with us here at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. But people here are into it. They know what's going on. They're fans. They have jerseys and sweaters on. They have hats on. They boo incessantly when a St. Louis Blues fan comes in, and rightfully so. What are they doing here anyway? They should know their place. I don't even know where they need to go. Some place that nobody goes.
Well, I would just
maybe
go
the old Hams Brewery. That's like in tatters, torn.
I just grab a paper bag and go to the back alley and just drink out of a bag.
What's the difference?
Try not to get picked up. Yeah, well, I just think that it'd be nice to clear this place out of some of the garbage. Yeah, you're right. It's garbage, so have the garbage just stand out in the next to the dumpster.
But they're good sports about it. The St. Louis Blues fans just laugh as they come in. But, I mean, yeah, just imagine you going to St. Louis wearing your Wild stuff. And I would.
I would
do the same thing. Everybody would boo me, and I would just laugh. Ha-ha.
Sure.
Because it riles them up more than it does us.
Of course it does. So you can go over and have your own fun in their town, too. Heck, make the trip down there.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people are doing that
from
here.
No, why would you want to go to St. Louis? It's a dump. You ever been there?
Yeah.
No, that's right. You did. You played there.
I actually have been there several times. I played there for a year. I played in college down in Missouri as well. Yeah, you don't want to go to the east side. Don't east St. No. Louis. Not good.
My good buddy John was over for the game on Saturday, and he was asking me about the arch. So is it claustrophobic to go up in that thing? And I don't get claustrophobic, but I mean, it's a smaller space, and you go
it
up
is.
There.
It is.
Said it's interesting because you look to the west, and you see downtown St. Louis, and it's green, and there's this park around the arch. You can kind of look into Busch Stadium. They were building the new one when I was there last, but then you go to look at the other side of the east. You look over the river, and that McDonald's that's on a boat.
Yeah.
And you look out east, and honest to God, it's like dreary, dark, gray, thunderclouds.
It's like a really, really bad day for Gotham City over there.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's really not. I had a chance to be up in the arch both before it was completed at the top.
Really?
And, yeah, when I was a little kid, they took me up in there before it was completed at the top. And, of course, as a player, I went up there once just to kind of check it out from above. Very nice, though. Very, very nice. Yeah. And we have some people that want to talk to me now. We just have... Okay, you get a picture with me soon.
This is the most, I wouldn't say a grab, but this is the most friendly crowd I've ever seen.
It's a good bunch. It's a great bunch.
People are coming up talking to us, just taking random pictures and doing this and doing that and stopping by and to say hi. I mean, normally people are like, oh, God, they're on the radio. Let's kind of look and leer as we walk by and not say anything. But yeah, it's just a great time.
We'll do it.
It's a great time. Come down and
have a great time. We encourage you guys to come down here and have some fun before this all gets started. But they're going to get this thing ramped up tonight. You know they will. They'll be out there on their skates, and as I think Jim Rich described it, they'll be floating out there on their skates. Their skates won't even be on the ice. They'll be so up for this game. I think that he's probably right about that. We are going to go with one of our favorites.
Yeah. Oh,
it's a guy that can finally have... He's got some bragging rights now, and he's got a little something to lean back on because his team is playing great. Our Minnesota Twins are playing great, that is. And Mike Berardino has no reason to be crusty or salty or belligerent or
he still will be.
Combative.
That's just his nature.
Or combative. But we'll see because... he really probably still will be a curmudgeon.
Well, to me especially, I find the best in him always. I always ask some question that he gets just incensed with. But
it's all good. It's all good. He's just he's got some issues with anger management. but we'll talk about that later with Mike Berardino. With his feature, we call it Hardball. Come on back.
Right now on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Deep to left field, down the line, back and gone. Home run number one on Torrey Hunter. First three-run home run for the Twins this season.
Indeed, he gets off the snide. He gets a home run out of the way early. He was glad to get that home run off his off that pressure list that he has for himself. Torrey Hunter, since being back with the Minnesota Twins, he knocks his big dinger out yesterday.
Whoa,
against
I don't
the
think
Cleveland
you said that on the radio.
Oh, well.
You can't say he knocks his big dinger out.
You can say that. The big dinger? I don't know.
No, it was beautiful.
He knocked it out of the ballpark, and that's all that matters. And the Twins go on to win the series against the Cleveland Indians. We bring Mike Berardino into the conversation now. Mike, how are you?
I am great. How are you guys today?
Oh, just dandy. We're down here in St. Paul. Exciting team. Obviously, the Minnesota Wild Game 3. Stanley Cup playoffs round one tonight. St. Louis Blues. We're at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. It's absolutely packed. But your Twins, Mike and I, Superstar and I, were talking about this a little bit earlier. We figured you'd be in the best mood of all moods. The Twins taking two out of the last two series, two out of three from the last two, Kansas City and the Cleveland Indians. This team seems to be back in it. They're now in third place in the American League Central. I know it's only, 12 games in or something like that, but what a difference a homestand makes, right?
It takes a lot more than that to put me in a good mood, as you guys know.
Here we go.
It really takes a lot more than just a couple of series victories. But something to keep an eye on here in this series, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the Royals, it's like a steel cage match here. They're like fighting everybody who comes near them. And the Oakland A's, you know, basically needed a police escort out of the building, over the weekend. So, we're kind of expecting, brass knuckles and maybe, you know, some sort of death match these three games, just because the Royals, they're talking about bad mood. The Royals are in a bad mood.
Well, you know, I mean, that's what sort of bar they've set for themselves, wouldn't you agree? I mean, it's the kind of season they had last year and basically everyone back and maybe the addition of one or two upgrades. I mean, they would expect to be in a little better position and doing a little better than they are right now, would they not?
Well, the issue with them, guys, is that their batters, Royals batters, have been hit 14 times and they've only hit three batters, so that's a bad ratio, 14-3. The Twins, it's a little more acceptable. Twins have hit four batters, and they've had three batters hit. They're not really upset, but the thing to watch is that Alex Rios, that pop-off Alex Rios, after he got hit by the kid, J.R. Graham, you know, he said the things he said about the Twins, about Graham and recipe for disaster, etc. Well, nothing happened those last two games in that series. But here's three more games, and of course they play the Royals like every other week the rest of the year. So it's a subtext to the series, no doubt about it. You know, there could be, I'm not predicting anything, but it would not shock me if something happened here that would rival anything that could happen on your ice over there in the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, two Minnesota teams taking on two teams from the Show Me State tonight. The Wild, obviously, the St. Louis Blues game three, round one. And the Minnesota Twins taking on the Kansas City Royals down there in barbecue heaven for the first of three games tonight. As well, we're talking a Hardball with Mike Berardino from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins have never tasted this refreshing. Have you noticed the team at all starting to play with a swagger, starting to take on Paul Molitor's persona just a little bit more? Less Ron Garden, hire more Paul Molitor as they switch back here in these last two series? Kind of a jump in their step a little bit.
That's a hockey term, that jump in their step. And baseball people don't get a jump in their step. There's too many freaking games. So there's no jump in their step. And there's certainly no jump in the step of a beat writer. However, What you do see maybe is a little of the another hockey term, pushback. You do have maybe a little Twins pushback because they got pushed around for seven games and embarrassed, and they've come out and won two series. In baseball, all you try to do is get to the next out, the next pitch, the next inning. But they feel a lot better about them out these two series, and we'll see how they do in this one.
Well, this is the time. This is the time where broadcasters have to tell other people in the media that they're being pushed back. I mean, you're done, Mike. I mean, this is it. I mean, this thing's over with for you. And we're just going to be just as cranky as you are and just dump you, man.
Yeah, see ya, sucker.
Oh, it's never over. I'll push back tomorrow.
It's not. It's not.
Unfortunately,
we'll have him back, and he is right. He will be back. Mike Berardino, everyone, Hardball with kind of a hardball guy, Mike Berardino. Thank you, Mike.
See you guys.
We've got a little talk. We got to talk the talk. If we lose Adrian Peterson, what in the world are we going to do for running back? If you trade him, you have to think that maybe you get another draft choice, a high round draft pick. If that's the case, just the guy, and I think it'd be worth number one to go get him at 27. Don't trade him to Dallas, though.
I don't think he's going to be there, number 27. Plus, don't go anywhere, because when we come back from Mike's break, we have an unbelievable pair of tickets to a awesome concert series, not just one band, several bands. It's called Northern Invasion. Don't go anywhere. We'll give those away coming up here in T-minus just a couple of minutes.
Right here at Radioactive Sports.
Boom. You want to do it? You want to do it right now?
I think so.
You should do it.
Should probably tell you that right now, caller number 15 at 651-989-9105 wins a pair of tickets to Northern Invasion with Slipknot.
That's huge.
Five Finger Death Punch, Volbeat, and more at Somerset Amphitheater, Saturday, May 9th. Caller number 15 at 651-989-9105 is going to Northern Invasion. Good luck, Sissy Pants.
No, that's not very nice.
It's not very nice. I'll tell you what's nice, though. I'll tell you what's nice is to have a choice, to have options. If you're going to deal off Adrian Peterson, the question here for this segment...
Yep.